Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, it looks like there may be an extension of the Real ID deadline coming, but wait for the explanation before you cancel your DMV appointment. Details coming next in the news.
It is said that if you really want to get to know someone, you should hit the road together. Seems appropriate on the Valentine's Day week that we talk about 11 rules for not slowly growing to hate your traveling companion. That comes up at 3:20.
Steve LaRosa is our guy for great things to do in and around Sacramento. At 3:35, he has the latest edition of What's Going On, including an appearance by Barry Zito, the country western singer. Wait. The baseball pitcher?
Yes, the retired Giants and A's pitcher is a singing country western guy. At 3:45, Ed Perkins joins us. Going to talk about two travel items in the news, the coronavirus and the new ban on renewing global entry travel documents for residents of New York State. If this is a politically motivated incident, can trouble for Californians be not far behind?
Busy day here on the program. Give us an hour of your time, and we promise you'll come away a smarter traveler. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for joining us. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Another beautiful Sacramento day. It seems like we maybe never get rain again.
It's never going to rain again.
I'm not ready for
this. We're all going to dry up and blow away or burn up or something this summer. It's not good news. There's snow in the mountains, though.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Just not quite enough yet.
Anyway, how have you been? Haven't seen you for a week. We're back at it.
Been good. Ran down to San Diego for a couple days to take in a California tourism conference. And they were, obviously talking about the coronavirus. And because California has invested a lot of money in Chinese tourists coming to the state and has gotten a huge share of those dollars. $35 billion Chinese tourists spent in California just last year. I mean, billion with a B.
Wow.
So a lot of that, you know, obviously that has dried up to nothing. We talked about this for a couple of weeks on the program. So some people are really hurting. But the point that some of the mucky mucks we're making to tourism people is that keep spending your dollars and stay top of mind with the Chinese, because when this is over, they'll come. And if you stay top of mind, they'll come here first, because obviously they were coming here first anyway. So don't let somebody else slip in and take that away from you, because when people can't travel, oftentimes they dream about traveling, or they, you know, everybody does that. Wow, I'd really like to go to New York and see shows on Broadway, or there's some place that you went to that you'd like to go back to. So that's kind of the strategy that they were telling California people, is that when it comes to Chinese travelers, just hang in there because they will be back. Of course, some of us like me who's a tour operator and has to compete with those busloads of Chinese tourists, which is one of the ways they've been coming here. You know, the fact that they're not coming is not necessarily bad news for everybody. You know, it's kind of like the weather. No matter what it is, it's good news for somebody and bad news for somebody. So, you know, tourism, it's the same way.
Well, I'm going to be visiting Disneyland, and I'll let you know whether there appears to be any drop-off of crowd, because I know that it's a destination, for the Chinese.
Right.
And you always see a lot of people. And so I'll let you know whether it seemed to have any impact.
Mickey's language is pretty much universal.
It doesn't matter
what country you came from.
You got it. Okay, well, let's find out what's going on in the travel news. It's what we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio program. So With that, Mark, bring us up to date on the travel news besides the coronavirus.
All right. We talked about this in the headlines. In fact, we talked about this. We alluded to the fact this might be coming in the last couple of weeks because there were kind of people who were hitting around at it. This is the deal. The real ID thing has been postponed. It was originally going to take effect in 2005. So we are now in 2020, so that's 15 years that they've been working on this. And, of course, about a year ago, they said, all right, this is it. Final, we're no matter what happens, on October the 1st, 2020, everybody has to have this. Now the realization has come that an awful lot of people don't have it, and that for everyone to get it between now and then is almost physically impossible, that people's tendency to put things off to the last minute, you're going to have to break that down somehow. So anyway, there is now a bill in Congress called the, Trusted Traveler Real ID Relief Bill. And so what they're saying, this is a lawmaker from Arizona, a Republican and a Democrat from Florida, so it's bipartisan. They are trying to say that they're going to roll this back to April 1st of 2022. So they're going to give people an extra year and a half. But, mm-hmm. There's a big but here.
Okay, what's the but?
The only way you get around it is if you're TSA PreCheck. So what they're kind of saying is that if you can't get this driver's license thing done, you go get the PreCheck thing done. Now we've got some information on you that we would get when you did the real ID. So we're now comfortable with you skirting the rules for another 18 months. Sort of kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And in some ways, I thought just the TSA PreCheck would have taken care of it and you didn't really need the real ID, period.
Right.
And then at the same time, now that I have my real ID, would you like to see it? Shouldn't that just be my automatic PreCheck?
But you do
have your PreCheck.
Yes, I do have PreCheck.
So you're good to go.
So I'm good. Unlike the people in New York, who we'll talk about in a minute, later on in the program have got some other issues with those things.
I will. I'll report back on this. I have my real ID.
Okay.
I'm going to go to get PreCheck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on what the information that you need to get the real ID is really the same thing you need to get to the PreCheck. So when I walk up, I'm going to have all the documents, but I'm going to show them my real ID.
Yeah.
And say, here you go.
Yeah. It's a little different, though. It's a little different. For real ID, you've got to have more than you have for PreCheck.
That's what I'm saying. So if I have a real ID, I have all those things and more.
Uh-huh.
So
good luck with that.
Okay.
Those are two different branches of that would be like the left arm and the right arm. And if they each know what's going on, that would just be almost scary to all of us. Anyway, the bottom line to all of this, to us babbling here, is that the real ID thing, if Congress has their way, we all know how much Congress has been able to accomplish in the last 20 years, not a whole lot. So this might be a challenge for them. But hypothetically, mm-hmm. if this passes, then you would have an extra year and a half if you already had PreCheck. You could relax, not worry about the lines and the crowds, and wait until after that October date was over. But for most of the people, it will still mean that they still have to get it.
Yeah, here you go. Just another reason for people to procrastinate.
Exactly. Speaking of the coronavirus, which is pretty hard to talk about travel or anything else without mentioning this, we've got two cruise ships that are now stuck our quarantine. One is in Cambodia, one is in Japan. Of course, the one in Japan has a couple hundred people who have the virus. This does not mean that they're all going to die. Lots of folks who are getting this virus are only getting a very mild case of it. So the 14-day quarantine is up next week. So we'll see what happens when that comes up. But right now, the cruise lines are all taking additional steps as people get on ships. Of course, they're not letting folks who have recently traveled in China or from China on ships into this country, etc. So there are some things that are being done to try to keep this under control, and we will stay on top of it for you. The airlines most likely to strand you with a canceled flight. Wouldn't that be good information to have? I mean, before you flew?
Right.
Guess what, folks? It kind of sort of lines up with the customer service scores that the airlines have been getting. So American Airlines for the last year or two or three has pretty much been at the bottom of the pack. Guess which airline is most likely to leave you stranded?
Oh, boy. Let me see.
American Airlines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Second on the list of customer service issues is for a while has been United Airlines. Mm-hmm. Second from the bottom. So guess who's second from the bottom on this list? United. Southwest is third. Now, here's the deal that this didn't really take into account, and they say this. American, United, and Southwest all fly the MAX 8. So the question is, are those MAX 8 cancellations in here or are they not in here? So this might be Delta, on the other hand, is a third as less likely to for every three United passengers who are stranded by the airline, there is one Delta passenger.
Mm-hmm.
So again, at least looking at these statistics, as rough as they are, it looks as though when it comes to getting left by an airline, not them not getting you where you're going, mm-hmm. it seems to pretty much line up with the guys who are giving you good customer service in other areas are probably going to get you there. The people who are not giving you good customer service and really don't give a damn about you in any other way, they don't really care if you get there either. So that's the bottom line. And at the top of the list is Hawaiian Airlines, as they always are, because they run most of their operation are those short inter island flights,
mm-hmm.
and they are rarely delayed or canceled. So that kind of changes their on-time record, their cancellation record.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be part of the mix.
You kind of have to eliminate Hawaiian out of there. All right, a new poll says travel enhances romance.
Okay, I believe that.
Did you take the wife anywhere on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, okay, all right. So travel enhances romance.
And we
romance.
Didn't argue at all. I mean, yeah. It was one of those, you know, we always swear not argue on Valentine's
All the way down to Carl's Jr.
There you
Folsom
go.
Boulevard. all right, so this says, according to the poll, the top five reasons for a vacation with a partner were to spend more quality time with a significant other, to experience something new with your partner, to see a part of the world never seen before. All of those rate 65% or higher. The top five ways to turn up the romance while on your trip. Now, this could be important, right? I mean, this is Valentine's week, so maybe we're a couple of days after the fact, but giving compliments, showering with affection, going out on a planned date, holding the door. So there's something that hasn't gone out of style, holding the door.
Mm-hmm.
Buying gifts was actually fifth on the list. So anyway, just some ideas there.
Is this part of the travel news?
This is when you travel. This is what you want to do when you travel. Give compliments, shower your partner with affection. I guess these all pretty much would apply whether you were traveling or not, you think?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So if you're thinking about getting drunk and getting on an airplane, and you're thinking, well, it won't be much of a problem, let me tell you about the British woman who was issued a lifetime ban, billed more than $100,000 by low-cost carrier Jet2, following a drunken outburst aboard a flight from London to Turkey last year. And not only is she banned and fined $100,000, she's going to jail for 2 years.
Oh, man.
So, you know, if you're sitting in the bar at the airport and you're thinking, oh, let's just have another one or two or get on the plane, my suggestion to you is don't. Because the upside is very minimal and the downside is huge. Once you get on an airplane and you cause some kind of a problem, you get just a little bit toasted or something like that, they can throw you out of the bar, but they can't throw you out of the airplane. And there are a lot of other bad things that can happen. Let's make that the end of your travel news for today.
And there you go. And of course, nowadays when you fly, you are asked if you see somebody that's disruptive,
yep,
to report them.
Yes.
So it's not just the flight attendants keeping an eye on you. Your fellow passengers could light you up.
Well, and as it should be. I mean, if you're traveling on an airplane, you're in a public conveyance. I mean, it's like riding on a city bus. You know, I mean, you're not expected to get drunk and go out and get on the city bus and bother everybody.
More like a crowded elevator.
Well, exactly. I mean, an airplane in the sky is the bus is going to stop every six blocks. The airplane is not going to. So yeah, it's a serious situation, and it seems like the simplest of public courtesies if you're, you know, traveling on an airplane, to be kind to each other. But sometimes that's kind of tough for some folks.
All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back to make you a smarter traveler right here on KFBK.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Well, life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Thanks for coming along. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And this is the time in the program where we focus on making you a smarter traveler. Mark, what you got?
Absolutely. Well, before we talk about 11 rules for not slowly growing to hate your travel companion.
Mm-hmm.
Try saying that three times fast.
I had trouble saying it slowly once.
Yeah, exactly. So before we go there, though, I want to just mention this. The airlines are always, every business is always looking for ways to make an extra buck. But airlines are particularly good at it. They created a few years ago extra legroom seats, Economy Plus, Comfort Plus, whatever it is that they call it. Different airlines have different words for it. Basically, they're charging you extra money to get the legroom that they took away from you a number of years ago. So to get it back. What the airlines then figured out was, okay, so those seats are generally at the front of coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are seats at the back of coach, of course, which are the last people to get off the plane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the airline decided that behind those extra legroom seats and in front of those really coach seats that are in the back, that aisle seats and stuff in the mid part of the plane were very desirable by people who weren't willing to upgrade to the Comfort Plus or Economy Plus section. So the airlines decided that they would make those preferred seats. And so be careful when you're buying tickets online and you see that says preferred seat. All it means is it's a little more popular location. You are paying for location. You're either paying for an aisle or a window,
mm-hmm.
or to get off the plane a little bit earlier. If you have a tight connection, that might be something that's important to you. But just know that a preferred seat is not the same as an extra legroom seat. A preferred seat is all about location on the airplane.
Necessarily going to give you any extra legroom. You want to be able to get off.
It's a little better location, or mm-hmm. you're afraid that you look in the back of the plane, everything that's not preferred economy plus whatever, there's no aisle seats available. So now what they've done is they've said, well, we have some aisle seats available here, sir. However, they're going to cost you an extra $25 a segment. No, sir, they don't really come with anything extra, but it's just our way of getting an extra $25 from you per segment, by the way.
Yep.
All right. So, rules for not slowly growing to hate your travel companion. As we said in the headlines, one of the things, you meet somebody or you have a good friend, even a spouse, when you travel with somebody, you learn a whole lot of things about them that you probably didn't know before that. So, how do you make sure that you don't come to hate your travel companion when you're on the way? So here are some ideas. Build in some activities where there's no pressure to talk to each other. I thought that was cool.
I think a lot of people have that these days. It's their smart device.
Well, you go out. That's further down the list here. You go out on a trip and you're doing everything together and stuff like that. So the point here is that have something that you do when you don't have to talk. You might be doing something together. Maybe you, for example, I'm going to take folks to Hawaii next week, and one of the things we're going to do is go to Ocean Rider Seahorse Ranch, and they're going to show us how seahorses are raised. Well, it's an hour-long tour. You're not necessarily interacting with the people that you're with. You're interacting with the people who are showing you how seahorses are raised. So, in other words, put something in your itinerary, some things that you don't have. You could go snorkeling together, but you're off snorkeling, so you're not necessarily
right.
Mm-hmm. Compromise is more important than completing your itinerary. This is probably anybody who's ever been in any kind of relationship knows that compromise is a key word, so that doesn't change when you're out traveling with somebody. This is kind of interesting. Be sure at least one of you is always in possession of a snack. Now think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're traveling with somebody, you don't exactly know all of their habits. And maybe their dining habits are a little different. Maybe you eat twice a day. Maybe they eat four times a day. Maybe they tend to be snacky people, whereas you have a big meal. So if you're carrying a snack with you and the other person's dining habits don't line up, you avoid a confrontation because you're not good.
Hangry because you're hungry.
Angry because you're hungry.
Yeah, boy, and I have family members that are like
you
that.
You see? Working out together is a surprisingly effective tension reliever. That's kind of a good thing. And again, something where you could do something with somebody, but you wouldn't necessarily have to be in a conversation with them. You could be together without being together. Make sure you're in agreement on who drives better before renting a car.
I love that one.
Isn't that a good one? That's especially for friends. Make sure you're in agreement of who drives better before renting the car, because there's nothing worse than a backseat driver, or you're really uncomfortable with the way your friend, potential spouse, etc. is driving. So that's something that's important. A sixth on the list of things to help you keep from hating your traveling companion, address your respective spending habits before you get there. If one party feels coerced into spending more than they're comfortable with, it's a surefire ticket to conflict. So in other words, one person likes to go to Michelin restaurants and the other person likes to go to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you might want to discuss, a little bit of your culinary habits. I kind of agree with that. This is actually, I think, a pretty good list. If your plans don't involve some downtime, they're bad plans. So it's the same thing as, having some time together where you're not having to interact with each other. Give yourself a little bit of a break. No matter how much you love that person, give yourself a little bit of a break. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Assume you're going to get a little bit lost.
Okay.
Assume that somewhere on your vacation, GPS or not, that you're going to go someplace that you really hadn't planned. You're going to be a little bit late. You're not going to make something that you'd planned to do.
Always happens.
So just figure that in. Mix it up a little bit with the locals. That's always a good idea on any vacation, but you're with somebody that you're not completely familiar with. Mix it up with the locals gives you a chance to add some other people to the interaction. Let's see, two more on our list here. Remember that conversation about money? We talked about that, what your spending habits are. Have the same one about phones. So are you a person who Instagrams and Facebooks and WhatsApps every single thing that you do? You take a picture of every meal, or are you somebody who doesn't do that at all? Is there a middle ground there? I would say that's probably, in this day and age, one of the most important things.
Oh, it is. When you're, like I say, when you're traveling with somebody, like for instance, if you're going to an amusement park, there's a lot of waiting in line. So mm-hmm. you're spending a lot of time waiting in line. You got two things you can do. Either people will spend all of their time on their phone entertaining, watch a friggin' movie, or they will actually communicate with the people that they're with.
Right.
So you really need to decide ahead of time, put the phone down, let's have some time.
The less you know about the person ahead of time, the more important I would suggest to you that is. And finally, the last one on your list, if you must fight, fight in the right way. Oh, Tom says we're out of time. So if you go to Travel Guys Radio, if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you can find this entire list and you can find out the answer to if you must fight, fight in the right way. Okay, so that's our list of 11 rules for not slowly growing to hate your travel companion. It's a good list. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can print the whole thing out. You could discuss it with your travel companion before you took off.
And after the news here on the Travel Guys, Steve LaRosa joins us. It's a what's going on all around Northern California. That's next. Well, that's Marvin Gaye and What's Going On, and that means it's time for a What's Going On in Northern California and Abouts with our buddy Steve LaRosa here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano and Steve. Welcome, Steve. What's going on?
Well, it's great to be back, Tom, and I got a lot of really cool stuff all over Northern California. And we're going to start off, we're heading off to San Francisco. It's the 4th annual San Francisco International Chocolate Salon, Tom, and it's Saturday, March 21st, and it's from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And what it is, it's a lot of chocolate tasting, demonstrations, chefs, and author talks, and more. And that's going to be at the San Francisco County Fair Building / Hall of Flowers. And that's 1199 9th Avenue at Lincoln Way in San Francisco.
By the way, the websites and links to all that we talk about here on the What's Going On segment can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. I'm a big chocolate fan. You like chocolate fondue?
Too much. Yeah.
You like it too much?
Yeah, I eat way too much chocolate.
All right. Well, this looks like something right up my alley. Once again, Saturday, March 21st. I'm glad they kept it to a one-day event, you know, so we won't hurt ourselves too bad. All right.
Now we're coming back to Sacramento. It's the Sacramento French Film Festival's 13 Winter Shorts Fest. And I see that you're wearing your winter shorts today.
You noticed.
Yeah. Well, basically, this festival features short films nominated for a 2020 César Award, which is, did you know, the French Oscars.
Are you a foreign film fan?
I like them. I do like to watch them because you get a glimpse of other cultures, and I find them very interesting.
Yeah, when I was in college, I dated a gal that she really liked the foreign films. So they had them in Modesto at one of the little theaters a couple times a week, mm-hmm. and there were some really, really great films. Foreign filmmakers, especially back then, would do stuff that no American filmmaker would take a chance of doing.
Right.
Speaking of foreign films, pretty amazing what went on at the Academy Awards last week.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been my first choice pick, but I did think it was a great film.
So once again, Sacramento French Film Festival, 13th Winter Short Fest. So these are short films. And again, that's what, Thursday, February 27th.
And it's going to be at the Tower Theater this year. Okay, and now we are off to Oakland this time. And what better way to get there? Once again, Marvin Gaye singing Hitchhike. It's the Black Joy Parade, you guys, and it's Sunday, February 23rd, starting at 12:30. And it takes place in Oakland at 14th and Alice Streets. It's a parade and festival to celebrate the Black experience, past, present, and future.
Well, outstanding. That's like a week from today.
Yeah. Now we're coming home to Sacramento. So we're talking about the Sacramento Jewish Film Festival now. It's Jewish themes and values that celebrate the diversity of Jewish experiences. Now, this is going to be February 19th through the 23rd, and it's taking place at the Crest Theater.
Again, links to the website and details at travelguysradio.com. What would we do without the Crest Theater, Steve?
Oh, man. You know, if they ever try to knock that theater down, there'll be thousands of people chained all around it. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, there used to be, you're a longtime Sacramento, and compared to me, there used to be another theater in...
Well, you're talking about the Alhambra, right?
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes people cry just thinking about it.
Well, hang in there, Crest. Once again, that was the Sacramento Jewish Film Festival, February 19th through the 23rd, Crest Theater. Onward.
Now we're heading up to Nevada City. This concert is called One Night of Queen, and it takes place Wednesday, February 26th at 8 p.m. at the Miners Foundry in Nevada City. It's actually a tribute to Queen, the band Queen, by mm-hmm. Gary Mullen and The Works.
All right. You can get a link to the tickets. It's tickets-eventbrite.com, but you can find it again at travelguysradio.com. I'm a huge Queen fan. Here's a band that I think is more popular today than they were when they were popular.
Right. I had tickets to see them at Memorial, and they didn't show that night.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How sad. Nevada City, I love, by the way, if you're going to go do this event, you might plan a little extra time to be able to wander around town. It's a cool place. During the summertime, one of my favorite places up there is a thing called the In-Town Campground, and they have glamping. And glamping is fancy camping.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tent that's already set up for you. It's got a real bed with an electric blanket. It's got electricity and lighting. And anyway, it's glamping. Costs you a little bit more, but you don't have to set it up. Okay, onward.
Okay, now we're coming back to Sacramento. Tom, you're a big baseball fan. You'll recognize the name of Barry Zito. He's former River Cats, former Giants, former Oakland A's. And now he's a country music recording artist, and he's going to be at the Sophia on Capitol Avenue in Sacramento.
That is amazing. I mean, Mark and I, you know, we cut a promo. We mentioned it in the promo because we saw this on your list. And Mark being the fanatical baseball fan, in fact, all he could talk about was the pitchers and the catchers are reporting to spring training like now. So this ought to be fascinating. There's a lot of people in the music industry that were baseball players. You know, I mean, this is not uncommon. So he's a country music artist. You've been to the Sophia.
Yeah.
What's it like?
It's great. It's just big enough. There isn't a bad seat in the house.
And that is February 21st, 7 p.m. Again, go to travelguysradio.com. And get your ticks to see Barry Zito. I'd be curious to see whether, you know, if he does any songs with any baseball thing. You think he might do the
Center Field by John Fogerty?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where you were going?
I bet you he does. Anyway, well, I think that's a wrap.
That is.
Okay, there you go. That's our What's Going On. Again, links to all of the destinations at travelguysradio.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, guys.
Keep it here. We're going to talk international travel with the travel expert, Ed Perkins. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Welcome. Once again, you've stumbled across. Maybe you're here intentionally or it was an accident, but either way, it's the same. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And back with us to help make you a smarter traveler, one of the smartest of all the travelers, and keeping us up to speed, and that is Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome again to the Travel Guys.
Always nice to be with you guys.
Well, and I would agree with that. I like that, Tom. One of the smartest of all travelers. Ed's been doing this for a while, and that's one of the reasons that we're talking to him today, is because we know that he's a smart traveler, especially when it comes to some of this nuts and bolts stuff. Ed, you write for a number of entities out there, travel entities. I saw that you penned on smartertravel.com an article on the New York State global entry ban, and that's probably going to sound like gobbledygook to a lot of the folks who are listening to this program, but basically what has happened is that people in New York State, for some reasons that perhaps you'll explain in just a moment, have been told that they can use their global entry until it expires, and then they can't renew it. New York is a somewhat blue state. This seems to be a little bit of a political thing. California is a blue state. That makes it a story of interest to California people. Ed, talk to us a little bit about this global entry ban. Is the logic behind it? Is it solid? Is it likely to spread to other states? What's up with all of this?
Okay. The first thing is that the logic behind it from the government standpoint is that the Department of Homeland Security depends on information that it gets from state driver's license databases to evaluate the risk of people when it's evaluating whether or not they should become members of Global Entry, which is the fast-track system for getting into the U.S. with automated passport reading machines.
Okay.
The government claims that it needs this driver's license information, and New York State has enacted a law that says it does not share driver's license information with federal agencies, and it has to do with fussing about illegal immigrants and their status.
Okay.
So the people in New York obviously believe that this is a political rather than a security move by the Trump administration. And you can pay your money and take your choice about which explanation you want. But there have been indications that the administration may want to go after other states that don't share information appropriately about driver's license holders. Now, I have no idea what the status of California is on that one, so I can't say whether or not California is in line to have the ban extended to it. But that's what the fight is about.
Okay. Okay, so it's so the question will become, is California in that same category as New York State where it limits information shared from driver's licenses or not? So that's something that we can investigate on this side and keep an eye on. Thank you for your explanation. I want to ask you a couple of other things here quickly, Ed. The coronavirus, like I said, you're a world traveler. You've been traveling for a lot of years. What's your take on what direction this is going or how it's been handled so far? I'd just love to hear some of your thoughts.
Okay, well, the first thought is that things may get worse before they get better. It looks like the epidemic is not contained where it originated in China. So it's likely to spread rather than to be to die out. We do not have a vaccine for it, and because it's such a serious disease, why, as probably everybody knows by now, travel to China has just about been leveled off to zero.
Right.
Which hurts a lot of people. The question that I can't answer, because it really is an epidemiologist's question, not a travel expert's, is will this virus spread into other Asian countries, or for that matter, any other countries, to the extent that they will be necessarily cut off the way China has been? And I don't know. But I would say right now that there's a good chance that it may extend to other Asian countries. Because, as I say, as far as it seems to be right at the minute, this thing is not contained. It's not leveling off. And until it does, why, just about every place, particularly adjacent to China, is in some risk of having the same problem that China has.
Well, and and thank you, Ed. Let me just ask you, do you have international travel scheduled for the foreseeable future?
Yes, I do. I'm going to Europe in April.
Okay. And does that concern you at all?
Not at this point, but you never know.
Okay. So your wisdom to people would be, if you have international travel scheduled for the next few months, is this is something that you need to stay on top of.
Yes, it is. And if you're looking at a bunch of heavy down payments with cancellation penalties, think very seriously about travel insurance, about trip cancellation insurance.
Okay. All right. And as we pointed out, of course, in some cases and previous programs here, in some cases, that insurance, in order to kick in, it isn't you can't cancel because you're afraid that there's going to be a problem someplace, or you're afraid that you're going to be sick. You have to be sick, or there has to be a travel advisory issued on a level that allows that insurance to kick in. So thank you, Ed. As always, a tremendous amount of expertise in a very short time. Take care of yourself up there in Southern Oregon, and you can bet with all this stuff going on, we are going to stay close in touch.
I hope so, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
And if you want to connect with Ed Perkins and find out where you can read all his great articles and writings, go to TravelGuysRadio.com.
Let's shift gears here just a little bit at the end of the program. Steve LaRosa was talking a little bit earlier about things to do in and around Sacramento and what's going on. So here on the Travel Guys, we believe travel can be down the street, around the corner, or across the planet. I want to tell you about something that Sports Leisure Vacations has been a part of for a number of years. For, oh gosh, more than 20 years, we have sponsored a team in the Golden Senior Softball Club here in Sacramento, and they are recruiting players for next year, and so I thought it would be great for them to come on and tell us a little bit about what they're doing. Ron Roach is here with us. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Ron is the editor of the club newsletter. He's been involved in Golden Senior Softball for about 25 years. Ron, quickly tell folks that are listening who might be interested, what age do you have to be? Is it for men and women? Tell us a little bit about Golden Senior Softball.
It's definitely for men and women. Players as old or as young as 48 during the calendar year can play in one of our leagues, which is used to be 50 and over, period, but we're for men. And we have in those leagues where women can play as young as 40 and as old as 60. Each league, we have nine leagues, more than 40 teams, more than 400 members. We began 41 years ago with one league. We're at least among the largest and oldest senior softball clubs in the country.
Ron, let me interrupt you here just for a second and tell folks that the leagues are separated into ages. So if you're a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old player, you're not going to be playing against 75 or 80-year-olds. Is that correct, Ron? It's demographically separated.
It's separated so that you're playing with people who are generally your own age.
Okay.
And we have, with nine leagues, it runs from as young as 48 to as old as 75 as the minimum age.
Ron, where are the games played, and are they daytime or nighttime games?
Both. We have three leagues that play at night at the Sacramento Softball Complex, and two leagues that play at the complex on Tuesday mornings, and we have four leagues that play at Hal Park. Minimum age is 70 for two of the leagues and 75 for two of the leagues. So, that way we found that we have players who actually are in their 80s and even early 90s who come out, and as you get in the older leagues, it's more social. It's sure it's competitive, but people like to be just around their friends and make new friends and stay active.
Well, and also we should tell folks that the rules are modified slightly to reduce the possibility of injury and the like. So if you're interested in the Golden Senior Softball, go to travelguysradio.com. There we'll have a link to their website and also a phone number you can call. Basically, if you're a woman over 40 or you're a guy over 48, there's a league that you can play in. Lots of old softball players around Sacramento. How do I know this? Because years ago, I ran softball leagues in Sacramento for those very guys who were 30 then, would be 70 now. Ron, thank you so much for joining us for a few minutes on the Travel Guys.
Well, I sure appreciate the opportunity.
You know, I've been flirting with the idea of doing a little softball. I was never a very good baseball player. I spent most of my time doing track and field, but I think that would be fun. My friend Lou Coppola, and Buzz Holmesy.
Lou was involved with the Golden Seniors Club forever. He was the guy who got our company involved as a sponsor a long time ago.
There you go.
So and Lou, old radio guy.
Absolutely, and probably still playing softball out there. Speaking of ball and baseball,
well, yeah,
and
you
so
might wonder why did we talk about softball here on a travel show. Well, it was just as a segue to talking about our underwriter, Sports Leisure Vacations, which offers a variety of baseball trips. So if you are a baseball fan or you know someone who is, for example, next month we are going to spring training in Arizona, a six-day trip to see Giants and A's practice games in the Arizona sunshine. So, and there are two seats still available on that trip. So if you've never been to spring training, you've thought about it forever, let me just say something. I was one of those people a long time ago. Now, even if I wasn't taking a tour group to spring training of 20 to 25 people, I would go on my own anyway. In fact, I've considered just taking a month out of my year and going down to spring training and just getting lost down
there. It's going to happen one of these days for you. I guarantee it.
It probably is. All right.
Maybe you'll be like Lou. He and his wife literally bought property in Arizona near where the spring training occurs.
Wow.
And they go there every year.
We also, at Sports Leisure Vacations this year, we have two baseball history tours. The first one is in the spring. This is the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues, baseball leagues. Mm-hmm. And there is a great museum in Kansas City that is dedicated to Negro Leagues baseball. We are also going to Minnesota, where the Giants will be playing the Twins. Bill Veeck's grandson runs a minor league baseball team up there, one of the great baseball promoters of all time. We're going to the Field of Dreams and to a tour of Wrigley Field on the springtime trip. And then in the fall, we have a trip that includes Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park and Cooperstown and some other little a cemetery in New York where a bunch of baseball players have been laid to rest and some things like that. So some two baseball history tours. If you are a historian and you enjoy baseball, that might be something for you. And then, of course, every year Sports Leisure Vacations has day trips to Giants and A's baseball games. That schedule is also out now, so you can go down and enjoy a ball game for the day. There are a variety of trips throughout the year. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find a link to all of those sorts of baseball trips. Spring training, the two history trips, and day trips throughout the year. So if you're a baseball fan, the catchers and pitchers have reported as of last week. Soon it will be time for the Astros to start cheating.
There you go. Well, I've been on Sports Leisure baseball trips, and they are fabulous. You got refreshments on the way up and on the way back. Drop you off literally right at the park. You got your seats are always good seats, and a lot of camaraderie and fun conversation and so forth.
And you don't have to drive home.
And you don't have to drive home either. It's great.
So go to travelguysradio.com, and you can find out more about the baseball trips. And that about wraps it for us for this week. Thomas, I will just say to you, dance like nobody's watching, and I'll talk to you next week live from the island of Kauai.
All right, our Hawaii show coming up next weekend. You stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time.